It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When the sweat hogs were cutting class, Mr. Carter longed for the Horshack laugh. Who did he turn to?
Yo, police!
Astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice.
Yo, police!
No. This world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul Lavoie.
Captain Radio here, inviting you to another episode of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show.
Well, we're all a little bit older, right, Dan?
We sure are.
All right, welcome to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. I'm Speak Out host Paul Lavoie, and that's Dan DeLosantos, the host of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. And another edition for this Wednesday, February 7th, 2024. It's the first Wednesday of the month, which means Havasu Pioneers time. You sure get a lot of responses on that Facebook page, don't you?
We do, and actually this show is very special, very dear to many people's hearts. When we talk about the Havasu Pioneers Facebook page and the Havasu Pioneers radio show, well, really what we're all, or the origins for the whole intent is from the Havasu Pioneers Club that started in Lake Havasu City back right. in the late 60s. Is that right?
About 66, I think.
66. Mm-hmm. And we, our guest speaker today is somebody dear to our hearts, and that's Margie Sterling. And that's Jim Sterling's wife. And she was one of the founding members of the first Havasu Pioneers Club. And I got to tell you, I'm really excited, Margie, to have you on. And I'm sure that everybody's got an amazing amount of questions toward this topic. But I thought maybe we'd start out by how you met Jim and how you got to Havasu.
Okay. Well, Jim was a race car driver. He drove big Indianapolis-type cars, and I wasn't too excited about that. But he was a terrific driver, and he did very well. And so one day he came to me. We were engaged at the time, and he came to me, and he said, "Honey, what would you think if I would go back to Indianapolis and take my driver's test for the Indianapolis 500? I looked at him, and I thought a little bit, and I thought, "Honey, I really wish you wouldn't."
About what year do you think that was?
Oh, gosh, that was...
60s?
Oh, yeah, the 60s. Yeah, that was in the 60s.
Sure.
So that was the end of it. He never asked me again. He was fine with my answer.
Wow. What brought you to Lake Havasu?
Well, I've got this down the road here.
Okay.
We had just moved to Arizona from Missouri. Mm-hmm. And we'd only been there a couple of weeks. And Jim got a job with McAfee Guthrie Electric. We had the two small boys at the time, Jimmy and Jeff. So he went to work. And, oh, my gosh, he'd been working probably a week and a half with them. And he got this call from him. He said, "We want you in the office immediately." And he thought, "Oh, man, I hope I'm not getting my pink slip." So he gets in there, and they said, "Jim, we want you to get your truck loaded up to the hill and be ready to leave in the morning." we want you to go to Lake Havasu City. And he looked at him and he said, where in the hell is Lake Havasu City?
That's funny.
Now, I got to stop you there for a minute because growing up here, I knew where the McAfee Guthrie Trailer Park was at the bottom of Acoma.
Uh-huh.
And I remember it fondly. Of course, a lot of our friends lived there because their families worked for the company. I did not know that the McAfee Guthrie outfit came out of Missouri. So is that correct? I mean, they started there? Were they just called them then?
Jim and I moved from Missouri.
To go to work for that company?
Yeah, to Mesa.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right.
We were in Mesa maybe a couple of weeks, and he got a job with McAfee Guthrie.
Okay, so they called him out of the blue, and he got a job.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And he thought,
I hope I'm not getting my pink slip.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So, yeah, he got his truck all loaded and went up I-40 and turned off to Havasu, and the road was just paved over the terrain. There was no main road, you know.
Right.
It was just terrible.
Right.
So he finally got into Lake Havasu, and they had a building there that the Army base used to use for all their people, you know, when they were there training. So that's where a lot of the guys that were working there, that's where they stayed, and they had a mess hall there, and they ate in the mess hall. And
now that was out on the island, right?
Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right by the water. So they had a little 10-foot trailer that he told him he could live in. And he said, boy, when he'd get up in the mornings, he'd open that door and he'd just give a big jump because the rattlesnakes were just thick.
Oh.
All underneath his trailer.
Holy moly.
Oh, yeah. The rattlesnakes, they were terrible.
If I remember from my father's stories, that's around the Site 6 area where the barracks were.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's he actually ate at that mess hall, too.
Correct. So you had the little cafe and, of course, all the barracks.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, mm-hmm. And so the rattlesnakes were thick.
Oh, they were thick. He said you'd be digging a ditch and you'd look up and there'd be a rattlesnake staring you in the eyes.
Oh, my gosh. Now, are we talking 63 or 4?
This was... in 64, it was probably,
year I was born. There you go.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow, Paul comes from rattlesnakes.
There was nothing.
Maybe. The milkman for sure. All right.
And of course, there were no homes there, you know. There was nothing to rent.
Right.
He couldn't find us a place to live at all. And, there were all these white Jeeps running around. There must have been 50 of them at least. And those were McCulloch's salespeople.
Yeah, Holly salesmen.
The Holly salesmen.
Right.
And they all had these white Jeeps, all looked alike. And finally one day Jim ran into this one salesman and he says, hey, Jim, I heard you're looking for a home to rent. And Jim said, yes, I am. He said, well, you know, I had a spec house built, and it's ready. So he said, you can have it.
Wow.
So we were lucky to get a home there. It was right on Smoke Tree.
Holy cow. Well, and as I recall, Smoke Tree was kind of the first subdivision we had.
Oh, yes, it was. Definitely.
So that's kind of the hometown area for everybody that came there. I mean, McCulloch was there. C.V. Wood lived on there on Cliff Rose, and... All that mm-hmm. the health circle of homes.
They were all together there. Mm-hmm.
Right. So everybody knew everybody at that point.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me, what did you think of Havasu when you got here?
Well, about 2 weeks before I moved up there, you know, Jim was a pilot. So he flew the Guthries and myself up to see Havasu. And I was excited because I didn't think there'd be any mountains. I was from Colorado originally.
Oh, wow.
And so I was excited to see the mountains. I thought it was just going to be flat old desolate desert.
Right.
With a little water, you know. So that was a positive thought for me, you know, to know that there were mountains around.
What part of Colorado were you from?
Up by Durango.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. There's certainly plenty of mountains in and around Durango.
Oh, yes. Yes, there was.
So when you got to Havasu and you saw that we had, you know, a handful of mountains, mm-hmm. and we had a lake, did that bring a little peace of mind to you?
Oh, yes, yes. That's where Jim was. That's where he had a job. And, you know, I was his wife. I had to like what he was doing, I guess.
So I guess long and about then is when you got to know the other wives and families. Is that about right?
Or? Yes. Let's see. There was Trico Engineering was here. And, they probably had 20 couples that lived here. So we became very good friends with them. They had a big cabin cruiser, big one, and McAfee Guthrie had one just like it. So we lived on those boats.
Oh, wow.
We'd go across the lake and shoot pool and get a hamburger, and, you know, there was nothing else to do. We had to make our own entertainment.
And you had to weave your way through the trees to get over
there.
That's
right. There were. It's amazing, all those trees that were sticking up.
Oh, my goodness.
You just would not believe it.
Yeah, I would say back in those days, you probably didn't even have TV reception here, right?
No.
Right, nothing.
Nor radio.
Oh.
There was no radio station yet.
No, right. That's crazy.
You would get skip from other towns in New Mexico.
Yeah, from the X stations.
At night.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, you couldn't get a thing. You couldn't get a thing.
Oh, you're darn.
And finally, Lee Shoblum started his radio station.
Yep.
Jim helped him with that. But back to this boat thing, Jim had to go like at 9:30 every night and shut this big generator off for the city. It was a contract that McCulloch had with McAfee had with McCulloch.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. It really is.
Yeah. So every night really he had to go shut that off. So we were out on the boats. We had to make sure we were back to have him at 9:30 to shut that off.
Now, I have to tell you, you know, after all the conversations over these past 52 shows, I had not really had any conversation about a generator.
I'd never heard about it either.
So the generator, so when did they turn it on and when did they turn it off?
Well, he just turned it off. Now, I don't know who turned it. I don't know if Lee Shoblum turned it on in the morning or what. I don't know.
And what was it used to power?
The power for the city.
For the whole city?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
That's why we had to have him back to do that, you know.
Did he also do the fueling for the generator?
No, I don't recall that.
Okay.
I don't recall that.
I'd never heard this story before.
So we had a power line that was run across from California over to Site 6 at one point.
Uh-huh.
But that didn't power up the city. So what she's talking
powered
about
up site
powered
six.
Up as soon as you got past where the McCulloch and London Bridge Road would be, that there was no power out there.
Oh.
And I'm pretty sure that's what she's referring to.
Right.
Which includes the radio station. Mm-hmm. So please continue. We're fascinated.
I spoke about the white Jeeps. You know, McCulloch had these, I think they were called Constellation airplanes.
Yes.
They were big planes.
Yeah. And
he had about six of them, Connies, yes. So these Connies would come in, and you'd see all these white Jeeps coming, and they would pick up the people coming off of the airplane, all these people that McCulloch was hoping would buy some property here.
Sure.
So it was quite a sight to see.
In the middle of nowhere, here's these big, beautiful planes with these white Jeeps.
Yeah.
And people are getting off the plane from all over the country.
And these people are looking around, and, you know, they didn't hardly know what to think, really.
Right.
You know? And
it must have been a real job to entertain these people in the middle of the desert.
Oh, yes. He put them up. You know, he had the one hotel built up the hill
where the water fell
off of the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were close enough, they wouldn't spend the night. You know, they'd take them back home. One time, I was a previous airline stewardess. And one time, one of the stewardess was sick. So I had to go take a flight for her.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't gone overnight. I was just, you know, it was like a 6-hour flight.
Sure.
But I was about the same size as the stewardess, so I put her uniform on and just went on like I knew what I was doing.
I love that. So, well, I tell you, I can't tell you how excited we are to have you share some of these stories, and we're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, I'd like to hear what your thought is. What is a Havasu pioneer?
Oh, I like that.
I would like to know what your thought about that is.
I'll tell you about that.
Okay, great.
Look at Dan with the questions after 52 episodes.
I know, right? I'm excited.
Good job.
It's just, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I got goosebumps.
This is a good one for sure. Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, our guest, Margie Sterling. And don't forget, Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you in part by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. I'm Paul Lavoie, back with more in a moment. Stay with us. Not when you have the Havidome. You don't really see the rain, do you, Dan?
No, you don't.
You get all these warnings about storms, and then the Havidome takes care of it.
You know, I'll tell you, it's really nice to have some rain around.
We're going to get some tonight, I believe, during the overnight.
That's the word.
We'll see about tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon. So, all right, Speak Out and the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. Patio Paradise by Just Meats, all the cuts, all the time, a locally owned and operated butcher shop in Lake Havasu City. Also, Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 53 years, just 1 year older than the London Bridge. Ask them about Salmon's superior maintenance plan. And by Blonzi's Steakhouse, 4501 London Bridge Road in Desert Hills, where steaks are just the beginning. They also feature the Prius, which is an all-veggie sandwich.
Wow.
Is that a cool name or what?
That's very cool.
All right, and don't forget, we stream live in our show archives. If you want to listen to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, just go the entire show, and the archives are at KNTRTalk.com with a really cool logo, and I think we still have a picture of you there.
Yeah, I think there's still a photo of us there, plus we have our logo.
In a suit and tie.
Yeah, you know what? That was a while back.
Yeah. You're all corporatized.
But, you know, depending on what the show is you want to listen to, and especially today, you'll be looking for Margie Sterling's show. We'll have it posted there. It's number 52 on the list.
I think so.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so today we have Margie with us, and she's been sharing what it was like to move from back east to get to Lake Havasu. And going into the next segment of our show, Margie, I am dying to ask you, tell us what a Havasu pioneer is and what you think constitutes that, and why is it so important to our community to have them?
Because we started this town. We were here and went through a lot to get what we've got. And it takes a lot. A lot of people can't get by with just a few things, or they have to have the best, and we didn't have that. When you think, when you didn't have a drugstore or grocery store, you know, it's tough. I just wanted to say, when Jim was traveling back and forth, he'd come home every weekend, and Charlie Royal.
Oh, yes.
Does that ring a bell?
Yes.
He was with the Irrigation and Drainage District.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his wife used to ride with Jim, because she was building a beauty shop here in town.
Oh, my goodness.
So she used to ride back and forth with Jim and getting her beauty shop.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, I think a lot of people that have moved here, it's really important to have clarity that this is not an old town like Kingman or other locations. This is a new town, and everyone that we're talking about created it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what pioneers did. The Havasu Pioneers created a city in the middle of the desert, and were given minimal resources to do it with.
Right.
I lived in a duplex with my three brothers on cots in one room, and we were thankful.
Wow.
Well, we, you know who, Fred, you've heard of Fred Schumacher.
Yes.
He was the project manager for McCulloch. Well, he and Jim and Woody would used to get together for coffee every morning. And Jim got the first telephone in Lake Havasu.
Oh.
And Fred Schumacher just came unglued. He said, "How in the heck can you get a phone and I can't get one?" And I still have that phone.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Now, remember, folks, it's not just the phone. It's the phone line.
Right.
The first person to be able to call out of town. Oh, my goodness.
So that was a big deal, old Fred Schumacher.
Back when we paid long distance. Yeah. You remember that.
Well, and that was probably just four digits that were necessary, four or five digits.
Oh, it is. 4488 was ours.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's amazing. That's amazing.
It really is.
And we used to have all these guys that were working for McAfee Guthrie would line up at our front door to use our phone.
Oh, wow.
I was going to ask that. I was seriously going to ask that. Were people lining up to use other people's phones?
Mm-hmm. They sure right? were.
Especially that first one. You know, I want to call my mom or I want to call somebody. Let them know where I am.
See what's going on.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, that's funny.
I'm still alive.
I know.
So please continue.
So
Marty.
Anyway, my friend Pat O'Connell, Jim was talking to her one day, and she said, "No, Jim, I'm having the darndest time with balancing my checkbook." And Jim said, "Well, I'll have Marky come by and help you," because I had been in banking earlier before I was married. So I went by several months and helped Pat, you know, and we'd talk. One day we got to talking and we decided, why don't we start a pioneer party? And she thought that was a great idea. So that's when we first started talking about a pioneer party.
Okay.
And we got, her son was involved with us, and then pretty soon we had Stelling and Lyle Matzdorf, and oh, there was one of the Holly salesmen. I can't remember his name now, but there was very few of us. But we got it started, and we'd have a party every year, and it just kept growing and growing and growing. And
so I have to ask, the first one or two years, how many members were there?
How many members
of the club?
Well, everybody in town wanted to go to a party.
Well, that's why I asked how many people, because there wasn't that many people.
There wasn't that many.
Town.
Just the ones that, of course, like I said, there was nothing to do. And if there was a party, everybody wanted to be at that party.
Right, right. So that was really, so that's the start, right, of the mm-hmm. Havasu Pioneers.
Yes.
And the club. And so, you know, there was obviously the rules to who, you know, who you had to be part of the club, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe you can share a little bit about what that looks like so people understand what you have to do to qualify to be a member.
You had to be here by 73.
Okay.
That was the cutoff time.
Okay.
And, we've had a lot of people complain about, "Oh, we only came in 74, couldn't we come?" And but we said, no, you know, you have to stay with your rules. And we have a full house, so we didn't need those other people.
Right,
you know.
Right, understood.
So Dan is a family member of Pioneers, obviously, but
some a sibling, a child.
Would that apply to children, or they weren't born by 1973? Let's say
as long as they're his children.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, my mom would go.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And she invited me to go one year, which qualified me to be able to go to the event.
I see. Okay.
And you know, they're with any great organization, there are rules, and so we all understand that. And I think this year the big push is from the invitation I read is to have those pioneers, and of course, in this particular case, I'm a child of a pioneer, which was my parents, that to invite our children to come to the event under our umbrella of being a member. And I think that's a wonderful idea.
We'd like to get them involved because, you know, they're going to have to take over. You know, we're going to not going to last forever, and we need somebody to take over and keep this thing going.
Sure. Well, and I understand Tony Tremblay does a really great job managing this program. And, you know, every other year now, I believe, is when we get invited.
Every other year, mm-hmm. And I am still the treasurer of that.
Wonderful.
All those years, yeah.
That's exciting. So, you know, we're here with Margie Sterling talking a little bit about Old Havasu and the Havasu Pioneers, the origin of that organization. So we're going to take a quick break, right, Paul?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the Havasu Pioneers radio show, and of course you're listening to Speak Out. If you have a question, I'm getting texts from people who know Margie. And yeah, give us a call, 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. If you just want to call in, say, hey, I'm a pioneer. I've been here. I listen to this show every first Wednesday of the month, right? Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on the Havasu Pioneers radio show, brought to you in part by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. I'm Paul Lavoie. We'll be right back. It's breaking my heart in two, because I never want to see you sad, girl. Don't be a bad girl, but if you want to leave, take good care. Hope you make a lot of nice friends out there, but just remember there's a lot of bad, and beware. Little Frampton Comes Alive, no doubt. You played a lot of that back in the day, Dan DeLosantos.
Yes, sir, I did, along with some great Pink Floyd and some Steely Dan.
Oh, for
Elton
sure.
Elton John, you bet.
A lot of Elton John. Yep. Yeah, but I wore that album out for sure. Frampton Comes Alive. I mean, I think I got it when I was 12 or 13. This is an amazing album. All right, Speak Out. And the Havasu Pioneers radio show, brought to you in part by The Chair, Havasu-style dining and live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere. Fantastic view of the London Bridge. Stroll on over to The Chair. Also, Springberg Wealth Management by Mojave Community College, SunPower by Esme Electric, SamsGuns.com, and by Dorita's Place, providing Havasu with all-natural dog and cat food along with pet toys since 2006. Don't forget to buy local, or it's buy local. And, of course, our exclusive Havasu Pioneers radio show sponsor, Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. Boy, they've been with us for a while.
Yes, they have, and I'll tell you what, there's no better time to have Mercury around because right now everybody wants the heater to work.
Yeah, right. Especially, you go to open the screen door or the slider on the patio, right, and it gets cold.
Oh, Lord.
Even in the middle of the day, they're like, well, it's cold to us. Right?
Yes, it is.
70s cold to us.
So we have Margie Sterling on with us today, and she's been sharing some really great stories and things about both are getting here to Havasu, the Pioneers, and Jim Sterling, who has an amazing history with our community. So, Margie, please share more with us. What do we got?
Well, I just wanted to mention, I know a lot of people knew Kevin O'Connell, and I thought it would be fun to have him come along with me today because he could tell a lot of stories. So he didn't have a phone number, so I went over to his house. I knew where he lived. I went over to his house, and his son answered the door, and I asked to speak with Kevin, and he told me that Kevin has passed away. So he said, you know, if I wanted to let people know, he didn't want a funeral or he didn't want it in the newspaper, anything.
Yeah.
So anybody that wonders about Kevin, he has passed away.
Well, that makes
a year in March. He'll be
that makes you the sole survivor of the original Pioneers Club.
Right.
Wow. And so we got a caller.
We do. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Is that me?
Yes, that's you.
Oh, hi. My name's Linda. I'm up in Kingman, and I'm 80. And when Ms. Sterling, I'm mopping the kitchen and listening, and when Ms. Sterling started talking about the rattlesnakes in Lake Havasu, it brought back so many memories I decided to call. So, like I said, I'm 80, and I am a native Kingmanite. I did live 35 years in Texas. But when I was, it must have been the late 50s or early 60s, but I had two older brothers, and one of my older brothers, I think he'd already served 4 years in the Air Force, but he came back to Kingman. And I was familiar with the lake, what's now Lake Havasu, that area, because I had uncles that were avid fishermen, and they would go down there to the Lake Havasu area, where all there was the river. But there was a little Mexican man that had built a little shack around himself, and he sat on the edge of the river, and he sold soda pop to the fishermen. And that's the only thing that was there that I remember other than fishermen going there. That little man always there selling soda pop, and he was real nice. So one day my brother said to me, I'm going to be going down, and he named that area, every day. He had gone to work for Jim Jordan, I think Jim Jordan Engineering Company in Kingman, and old-timers will remember Mr. Jordan. But so my brother had hired on with him. My brother had become a surveyor. So my brother and another guy drove down to that area where there was absolutely nothing and started surveying. Well, I thought, this is total insanity. I said to my brother, you're going to drive all the way down there, and it's 120 in the shade, even in the winter. Who on earth would build a city down there? I mean, that was the plan, to build a town, they called it then. And he said, well, it's a guy, McCulloch, that has McCulloch Chainsaw Company. And I guess I had vaguely heard the name. Well, I thought this was the craziest thing I'd ever heard. But anyway, in the course of that, there were a million rattlesnakes, and my brother was always into nature, and we had a horse in the backyard, and, you know, he rode his horse around town, and he was an outdoorsman. And so he would keep Best Food mayonnaise jars and take with him, and there were so many rattlesnakes, he would collect the rattles and rattlers, whatever you call them, cut them off, I guess kill the snake, and bring him home, and he would chase me around. I was in my late teens, I guess. And just the sound of them in the jar, my spine would run cold. I'd run and hide in the closet. I mean, they were just horrible. He had jars and jars. So she's right. That's how many snakes there are. But anyway, I still thought the whole idea, and that's a long haul to go every single day and drive all the way home.
Right.
And so finally, he had a wife, and he had a stepdaughter and a new son, and the other men had the same problem. It's a long way to drive. So Mr. McCulloch, who must have been a very nice man, and I'm going to ask you guys if any of this is still there, but he decided he would build a little group of apartments. Like you just went in, and there was a little living room area and a little area where there was a table and a kitchen and a bathroom and one bedroom. And for families to actually live down there. And so my brother, and I think there were four apartments, and I don't remember if he built more than one unit.
I think that's the Reese.
But my brother and his wife were one of the first ones to live in those little apartments. Mm-hmm. And he did one other odd thing, and I do go to Havasu, and I haven't seen it, but he built a fountain with water shooting up in the air. And so I don't know if that fountain is gone or is it still down in Havasu somewhere.
But anyway,
that's all there was there.
It's gone now.
It's gone because we kept throwing in detergent and it kept foaming down McCulloch Boulevard.
What was the name of the complex you said?
Reese Apartments.
It wasn't even a complex.
Reese
it was
apartments.
Just four little apartments.
Oh, just four little Reese apartments. Yeah. Are they still there?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you because I'm. Now that the town's grown up, and I don't know the whole town, I do know my way to Dillard's, and I wish Miss Sterling could tell me how to get a Dillard's in Kingman because I'm really suffering.
Did you have a part in that, Margie?
No, I didn't.
So, the Reese Apartments
are... Well, that's my favorite store, and I get tired of driving clear to Havasu, but I do it anyway, or to Henderson, Nevada.
Right, right.
The Reese Apartments are at the corner of Mesquite and Smokestree.
Oh, very good. Can we help you with anything else? Great story. Two great stories.
She brought back wonderful memories. And when the city, I moved away 35 years. When I came back and the city was built, I was just stunned. Like, Mr. McCullough was right. He's building a city here, and he did. So enjoy you being on there this morning, and thanks for the memories.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
All righty.
All right. Anyway, go ahead, Dan.
So, well, I got to tell you, that was wonderful. So, folks,
how do you follow that? That's a lot to unpack.
Well, and that's why, by the way, I know it happened this morning that we have listeners all around the country.
Sure.
I sent out the message. A lot of people replied back. They were excited to hear Margie on the show today. So if you have a story like that that, you know, we haven't heard before, don't hesitate to call in.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have Margie back because I know that she's got more stories, and I'm not about to rush her through some of these really amazing stories.
It's a whole journal full.
She does.
There's a whole journal full of stories in there. But it's 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. You know, she said she was 80 years old,
yes,
right?
That's correct.
She had a lot of energy.
Yes.
A lot of energy.
I hope I have that energy at 80 years old.
You and me both, brother.
So, Margie,
I don't even want to talk about
age. Yeah.
I have a birthday. This month, I'm going to be 86.
Wow.
God you bless
you. You do not look 86, my
no,
dear.
No, not at all. Not at
my
all.
My gosh. I know
thank
people
you.
My age that look older than you. So, Margie, what else we got?
Okay, I want to mention Cy Miller.
Oh, yes, Cy.
He's the gentleman that built the Miller's Folly.
Yep.
That was a great, great boat. Oh, my gosh. Everybody got together and helped build it. Jim furnished all the wire for it and did all the wiring.
Ah, I didn't know
and
that.
We would go down there and have potlucks, and our kids would go, and they had Cy built a diving board up on the top deck. And our kids would jump off of that diving board. I said it's no wonder our kids were all such good swimmers because, boy, they got a lot of practice.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and, you know, there's a new display down at the Lake Havasu Museum of History for the Miller's Folly. And there's an amazing amount of history that goes with Cy, the Miller's Folly. Now, that boat actually used to be our stage that they would pull up to the concrete wall underneath the London Bridge, and that's where the performers would actually
mm-hmm.
perform on
mm-hmm.
top of the boat, right?
Right.
So you got to see it all.
And it was so sad that, you know, the insurance started giving us so much trouble.
Right.
That they just didn't want to mess with it anymore, so they took it down the river a ways and sunk it.
Right,
which
right.
Which was so sad.
It was. Initially, it stuck out of the water, so they had to do a little reconfiguring that morning.
But poor old Cy, he moved down to Phoenix and lived with his daughter-in-law. And he's passed away now. He passed away a couple of years ago. He was almost 100.
Wow.
Oh, my.
He's a nice old guy.
Yes. And, I was talking with Jay Coombs and the folks that were pursuing the stories and the photos and things and the family that fortunately still had a lot of the materials about that boat and what it was for Havasu and how it got built.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, now one thing that we hadn't really touched on yet, and that is that Jim was responsible for putting the electrical componentry inside the London Bridge to the island. Is that right?
Yes, he was. Like I said, he would meet with C.B. Wood and Mr. McCulloch and Schumacher and all them, you know, for coffee. And C.B. always called Jim Jimmy. So this one morning they went for coffee and they were talking about getting all the granite here, and C.B. Wood looked at Jim and he said, "Well, Jimmy," he said, "I've got nearly all the granite here now." He said, "It's going to be up to you to wire the bridge."
Wow.
And of course, there were no schematics, no nothing telling him anything. He had to do it from scratch.
That is amazing.
And he did contract some of the portions of it off to different electrical contractors because he couldn't handle it all. But he did a lot of the wiring himself.
Wow. That's really saying a lot, folks. You know, you realize, you think of the island. I'm sitting here looking at a photo of it, and the power's coming straight through the bridge to power it all up. So it's quite an undertaking.
It was. It really was.
So, you know, what in your mind comes to one of your favorite times being here in Havasu? Is there anything that sticks out the most for you?
Oh, there was always something going on. My husband kept me very entertaining, let me tell you. He was always doing some crazy thing. And then with his flying, you know, he used to fly a lot of people out that had been in accidents, were sick, you know, had to go someplace. One day it was just down the street from where we lived, and he ran into the house and he said, "Margie," he said, "get me a sheet, quick." He said, "one of the guys down the street got hurt. He'd been carrying a bucket of tar across the roof, and he tripped on a jack. And that tar went up and came right down on top of him."
Oh, my Lord.
So Jim got him in the airplane by himself, not thinking. And he said when they got airborne and that sun started coming in on him, that fella just went crazy.
Oh, my Lord.
So Jim had to fly the airplane with one hand and hold that guy off with the other one. And the airport guys had alerted Kingman that he was on his way with this fellow, so they had an ambulance there waiting for him to come in. But he had to land the plane with one arm and hold this guy. He was just going crazy, just awful.
I couldn't even make that story up if I had to. That is really amazing. I'm dumbfounded by that.
I know. And then about 6 months later, that fella came to the house and thanked Jim.
No kidding. Gee, many Christmas. You know, early Havasu, you know, we stitch ourselves up. We were our own doctors. We were, you know, there was very little resources here. I'm always amazed at what we had to learn to become self-sufficient here in Havasu.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you got to see it all through those years.
Oh, yes. It was.
So, you know, the stories that I know many of the pioneers have about growing up here, that one certainly is one of the more unique stories that we have to tell. And I want to invite you back to come back on our show because I know that you have more, and I'm not about to have you rest through all those because I think you've got some great stories.
I do have more things that that happened. You wouldn't believe some of the things that when Jim and his flying, there were no lights here.
Yeah, oh, right. Right. Well,
he was flying and wondering where that runway was, you know. Yeah, I've got several.
Will you come back and join us?
Sure, I would love to.
Yeah, that'll be great. Folks, you know, we're sitting here with Margie Sterling, some amazing stories. Margie, I can't thank you enough for being on the show today. And, yes, we'd very much appreciate it if you'd come back and, you know, we'll go back into it and get into some more fun stories with you.
Well, thank you for inviting me. This has been fun.
Oh, thank you.
A lot of fun.
Thank you. And, yeah, we haven't lost anybody yet. So I know it's your first time on radio, right?
Right.
Yeah. So Dan and I always say that. We haven't lost anybody yet. It's pretty harmless.
No.
So,
yes.
All right, another edition of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show in the books. Dan, are you coming back after the break?
You know what? I'll tell you what. I don't need to because next month the show will be on March the 6th.
Right.
At 11 a.m. Get ready. We'll bring in another great guest speaker and look for the post.
Well, I heard something about Steely Dan earlier, and that you're a Steely Dan fan.
Oh, I'm a big Steely Dan fan.
So am I.
And we're going to be probably talking about the desert program for the kids on the Colorado River, which takes place next month for over 400 children.
Great. Should bring Dan Roddy back in, too.
Yes.
He hasn't been on for a couple months. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out will continue, and thank you to Margie Sterling for being here, founder of the Havasu Pioneers Club, correct?
Yes.
All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us for a final shot. Right, back on Speak Out, the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Believe it or not, that guitar you hear in the background, that's Margie Sterling's grandson, Nick Sterling. I had the pleasure of seeing Nick at the Havasu Rock Fest in 2006. That's him singing Hysteria. Of course, Nick Sterling, great guitar player too. Wow, what a small world. All right, so coming up next is Speak Out 2.0, and the guest today is Lieutenant Andy Seviano from the Bullhead City Police Department. Always a good guest. Phone number 234-343-1065. 234-343-1065. Speak Out 2.0 coming up after news and a short break. Enjoy the Nick Sterling as we go out.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.